But today is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hi everyone and welcome back to The Wealth Show. Your hosts today are reporters Sophie Downs and myself, Natalia Vasnier. In honour of International Women's Day, we have invited four female top 100s to talk about the industry. Joining us are Elena Ingleby, Head of High Net Worth at Atomos, Joanne Benson, Head of Investments at Copia Capital, Jackie Kiao, Head of Fund Research at Elston Consulting, and Jane Bransgrove, Investment Director at Charles Stanley.
Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone, for our International Women's Day Roundtable 2025. I think if we just get stuck into it, I think the question, what's it like to be a woman in the wealth management industry?
Yes, I think it still is something that we should ask. I think there's still not a sort of parity, either people or women entering the industry or sort of progressing through sort of promotion. So I think it is still, unfortunately, a question that we do have to ask. I think there was a CFA report last year which showed that there is still quite a significant difference there. Membership of women is only at sort of 20% and at CEO level it's sort of 10%. So, you know, there is still that discrepancy and I think still firms need to do more to support women sort of coming in and then throughout their sort of careers. So it'd be nice to say, no, it's not an issue anymore, but I think there's still a little bit, you know, we have come a reasonable way, but I think there's still quite a bit more to do.
Mm-hmm. Joe, are you seeing similar things?
Yeah, I mean, the team I work in is a diverse team, you know, both in terms of gender and other characteristics as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's still it's possible to do. It's absolutely possible to build a very diverse team, and there's lots of evidence that that's a great way to run a business, and that diverse teams make better decisions, and that makes for a stronger business. So, there are lots of good reasons that we should be looking at diversity in the workplace through the gender lens, but also through other lenses also. But as a question in itself, it doesn't really go far enough. We need to ask more questions about retention of people within the industry, because the dropout rate, I think, as you know, we've all acknowledged, is pretty high. So retaining women and making sure that there's proper career development and a path through for them, I think, is equally important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really agree with that. And I think I agree with the point around thought diversity. It's, you know, brilliant on a wider scope of not just around women, but different aspects. But I also, it is very clear statistically that women are not making it to senior ranks. So not only you've got lower entry rates, you've got lower amounts of women at CEO level or C-suite level. And I think that is an industry-wide challenge and something that is clearly a systemic issue that needs to be looked at, and actually not just shrug and say we can't fix it, but try and understand why are women dropping out or moving away at that stage.
Yeah, and it's not just the senior roles. In my role of fund research, I meet different fund houses and fund managers. I noticed a clear lack of just female fund managers. And I do think it would be more encouraging to see more successful women in this role. I think that would be a good inspiration for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's a result of, you know, seeing less on, or just, is it a result of hiring biases, or is it, I think, maybe just a lack of education, that is a role they can go into?
I think it's linked back to Jane's answer of the CFA passing rate. Mm-hmm. And then which can be linked to some other reason why there are like less women considering or passing the CFA exam or considering a career in the industry in general. Maybe more publicity about successful women role model in the industry is how you can educate and inspire the next generation.
I think that's an interesting point, mainly like on retention of women in the industry. I was reading a study by Deloitte last year that was saying that the percentage of women in next generation roles slightly declined between 2016 and 2022 and is expected to go down another 2% by the end of the decade. So what do you think that firms can do better to attract and retain women in the industry?
I think, as we touched on, having a sort of a career path, you know, that can help sort of promote women and have support within the organisation. I think, you know, I have been to various sort of conferences and things, and actually I find it sort of as inspiring when there are the men there supporting the women rather than just the women supporting each other. So I think looking at a whole career is important.
Jo, do you have anything to add on that point?
Yeah, I think Jane's right about mentoring. I think, you know, so when I look at my own career, some of the people who've been really instrumental to helping me grow have been men. It's not just women helping other women. So finding and linking in with those mentors who can sort of support you and help you to develop your career, I think is really important. So we need to do that, you know, from a senior level. We need to set that culture.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's firms taking responsibility as well, rather than just shrugging and saying, well, you know, we can't solve that. I think if they were more engaged actually talking to women at senior levels who are maybe exiting firms and trying to understand on a broader basis what is driving those difficulties and that challenge that means that it's just not attractive for them to stay with firms. We've certainly seen that with some high-profile women, you know, switching companies when they just purely are overlooked for promotions that they felt was necessary. So it's a very interesting question. I don't think we have the answers, but there could be more done to try and find an answer.
Absolutely. And Jackie, do you have?
Yeah, I think it's just the same answer. I think we need more publicity of the successful females in the industry. Like, people can see her as a role model, as an inspiration. I think it's good for the next generation.
And of course, we're here for, you know, International Women's Day, but I suppose the question isn't just centred on women. You know, the topic of inclusion extends much more widely, and I think at the moment it's very topical that we're seeing a lot of financial companies rolling back on their DEI targets. I mean, do you think that this is a trend that we will continue to see within the industry, and what will that look like if that is the case?
I think there's a real split between whether you're this side of the Atlantic or the other side. So I think certainly, I mean, we have a US sort of parent company, and I know they're sort of particularly sensitive, you know, to what's happening over there and how they're talking about any sort of programs and things they're running. Whereas I think you've got a completely different sort of view from sort of Europe and the UK. So so I think it is sort of different, and I certainly haven't noticed any sort of pulling back in terms of what we're doing as a company or sort of noises out of Europe, but I think it's a different situation if you're an American company and you're in America. So,
and as everyone else's experiences kind of aligned with that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it seems to be driven mostly by the presidential administration, and their view seems to be spreading to a lot of, I'd say, really reflect to the Magnificent Seven. We've seen that with Facebook, Meta, changing quite publicly, and I think it's been closely watched. But I haven't seen it reflected so far in the UK or Europe more widely.
Mm-hmm. And Jo or Jackie, do you have anything to add?
Not on this point. I haven't seen anything yet. I read that the big firms, maybe this is more like hard, they might be switching from a hard rule to a soft rule, but they're still following it. But just in case anyone asks, okay, are you reaching this DEI target? They say, okay, this is no longer our target, but they're still like doing it as a soft rule, I would say that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been no change to the legislation here surrounding equality and protected characteristics. So, I mean, I think it would be it would not be straightforward to make those sort of changes here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a very different tone in the US at the moment. But it's not something we're seeing echoed anywhere here at the moment. But it does give us quite an interesting point to engage with some of the fund management groups we speak to, both on this and actually on the sustainable point as well. So the change in, you know, sort of sustainable and sort of ethical investment standards as well.
Maybe they just appreciate more flexibility in terms of sustainability and ESG and DEI. just give them more room to do their business.
Mm-hmm. I think we haven't really seen the effects of it yet, have we? It's still quite a fresh, new in shift, and I think we don't even really see the effects in 5 to 10 years, looking back at what has it meant. Has it been negative, or has the flexibility actually improved things? It's hard to tell yet, but certainly the media speculation about it has been relatively negative so far.
That's true. Maybe like a following up point was to the first question that we were asking, what is it currently like today to be a woman in the wealth management industry? Maybe Ellie, let's start with you.
I think it's busy. I think for any women that I see that have succeeded and sit at a senior level and have been in the job for a while, I think we don't consider ourselves as women first and foremost. We do our jobs, and our gender should be relatively unrelated to that. However, it is hard to ignore that it exists. There's certain challenges such as children and everything else that do have probably more of an effect on us than potentially our male colleagues. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible to ignore, but also not a self-identify. That's possibly my view, but I don't know how everyone else feels about it.
Jumping on the back of that point, and the International Women's Day roundtable we did last year, we did ask, should hybrid working rules differ between employees, obviously considering that, you know, women might have more childcare, you know, costs and concerns, for example. I think the answer then was measured. But what I'd be intrigued to hear your opinions on it.
Well, I mean, I think it should be flexible enough that, you know, either party can take the time off and that sort of thing. And, you know, I know a lot more people have been taking paternity leave and things, you know, now. And that's, you know, I think that's a really good thing. So that it's not just an issue for women when people decide to have families and things. So I think that's encouraging, that people feel that they can take the time that they want. And so, you know, that's certainly a development that I've seen, you know, more recently.
I think I think we all probably bring our own personal experience to bear on these things. I think really boringly, I think COVID obviously sort of changed the landscape for most businesses overnight. And there were, I think, large businesses that said that if you'd asked them if they could do hybrid working, they probably would have had a focus group that took 18 months to say no, it was too risky. And as it was, we all did it in a weekend. So, you know, it's absolutely possible to do these things if there's ambition there to do it. And it's not just women who benefit from this, men too. I mean, certainly sort of during the earlier part of my career, I used to see a lot of men who were always on the road, always away from their families, and they didn't feel that they could speak up about that. And they didn't feel that they had a voice where they could say, actually, I don't really want to do that. I'd actually quite like to see my children occasionally, sort of between sort of other than Saturday and Sunday. So I think things have changed for the better, and that means that it's supporting people who might have caring responsibilities, whether that's for children or maybe it's for parents or, you know, other things going on in their lives. It doesn't particularly matter whether you're male or female, although I think the perception is still going to be that women maybe benefit from this kind of flexibility more than other groups. But I think overall it contributes to a happier team. Like, that's good for businesses. I think, you know, people who love where they work and they are more productive and they'll stay for longer, and that's good for business too.
That's a great point. Do you have anything to add on that, Jackie?
Well, I don't have any kids, but I do have a cat and a dog. And the dog needs to be walked like 3 times a day. But my job and my role needs me to be in the office most of the week. So my boyfriend, he's got more flexibility to stay at home and walk the dog, so which I do feel I'm lucky. So we don't need to go out and find a dog walker or leave the dog to our friends. Yeah, so I think from the employer's perspective, maybe this flexibility between working office and work from home still have a point to exist. Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to The Well Show with Sophie Downs and myself, Natalia Vasnier. For any questions, please feel free to email us at wmnews@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Today is VE Day, the war is over.
waves from the Belt.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.